We begin the current daf. Besach the site of daf chav dalet. We begin on the bottom of daf chav gimel mebeis. Five lines up in the bottom of the amud. The Gemara continues at the fourth parak of Besach the site, parak arusa, which discusses the exemptions of this halacha relating to shaisis. In other words, although generally when there's a suspected adulterous woman, the husband brings her up to the base of Migdash and she drinks the saita waters. However, there are certain exceptions that although they went through the process of kinui, being warned and stira and being secluded, and even being forbidden to their husbands and not getting their ksuba, but they're not going to drink from the saita waters. As the Mishnah explains, arusa, if a man and woman are engaged, and the aris, the chasin, warns his kala regarding a certain man not to be secluded with him, or b'shemeres yavam, where, again, also another case where, similar to being engaged, where they're not fully married, but rather that his brother had died without any children, and she's waiting for him to do yibum with him, and in the interim, he warns her from being secluded with a specific man, so the halach is loy shaisis. Although, if they then seclude with that man, as the Mishnah will quote, a pasuk that excludes the anarusa and the shemeres yavam from drinking from the seita waters. However, v'leinitlis ksuba, they also, however, don't take their ksuba. And the reason being is because she caused, in other words, whoever it is that causes the marriage to fall apart, is the one that takes the loss for the ksuba. And here she caused it because if he, whether he be the chasin or the yavam, warned her regarding being secluded with that man, and she's secluded. So therefore, as the Gemara will explain, although the Pasuk Dimesh is going to quote, excludes Narus and the Shemeres Yavam, but that's only from the drinking, however, from the warning and from being forbidden to her husband, that a Narusa and the Shemeres Yavam was not excluded. Now, Rashi points out one thing. Now, although if we don't hold like Rav Nuna, who we mentioned off Yud Chesem and Beis, rather the halacha is that a Shemeres Yavam, which is the case we're discussing, if she was mezana with another man, is permitted to her yavam, so what would be the problem with her being going through kinui and stira? Why is she forbidden to her yavam? In other words, that she doesn't get her ksuba, why not? What she was mezana with another man doesn't affect her relationship with the yavam. So now Rashi explains, although yes, she would be permitted to the yavam, however, he doesn't want to marry a woman that's a zayna. And therefore, it's her loss that the marriage doesn't happen. And therefore, although generally the Shemeres Yavam gets a ksuba, which is from her late husband's estate, here she doesn't get a ksuba because it's her fault that the relationship is falling apart between her and the Yavam. So how do we know that they don't drink the Seita waters? Shinem, like it says, a pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Asher tista isha tachas isha, that which a woman strayed when she was with, under, meaning in the relationship with her husband. So it sounds like from the pasuk that it's Toma when she's married to her husband. Prat la rusa v'shemeres yavam, that excludes both a kala that's engaged and not yet under in the domain, in the relationship with her husband, and also shemeres yavam, whereas also some type of where she's going to have a relationship, but she's not yet tachas isha, so those two women are excluded from the halacha of drinking the seita waters. But again, if they were mezana, if they did stir after kinoi, it's their fault that the marriage is not happening, and therefore they don't get a ksuba. Now continuing on this halacha, amon l'kohen gadol, let's say a widow is married to a high priest, or gusha b'chalutza l'kohen hedid, or a divorcee, or a woman that had chalitza done to her by her brother-in-law when her husband died without any children from a kohen hedid, a regular kohen, or a mamzeres, as we continue to be chavta alam and aleph, the nesina, mamzeres is a woman that's from an illegitimate relationship, or a nesina is a woman from the gevinim, which are certain people that are forbidden to marry to the Jewish people, as the Gemara says, m'sech zivam mastaf, ayin chasim abeiz, that David HaMelech made a gzera that they're not allowed to intermarry. If any one of these, Mamzeres and the senior, was married to Yisrael, to a Jewish man, where, again, all those are forbidden relationships, Amalekar and Gadol, Gurusha Vachalitzakar and Hedyet, or the other way around, Ubas Yisrael, Mamzul Nasan, or let's say a regular Jewish woman that's married to an illegitimate man, or to a Nasan, which is the male from the Givinim, Loi Shaisis. So if let's say that the husband warned the wife regarding being secluded with the man, and this stira happened, she doesn't end up drinking the saita waters. And the reason being is because the whole parasha of saita is only said for a wife and husband that are appropriate to remain married. Whereas the Sifri brings, it says, kisista ishtoi, that if his wife will stray, meaning a woman that's fit to remain his wife, which excludes all the cases that we've been discussing, Amal Kohen Gadol, where mamza nosen li Yisrael, where they're not supposed to be married, they're actually forbidden based on whether it be a prohibition or what. So such a woman doesn't drink. But again, b'lei nitlis ksuba, that is she, if she was Saiser, so she loses her rights to her ksuba. Now Rashi points out, although generally an Amon L'Kohen Gadol, the Rabbanan don't penalize, although it's a forbidden relationship, they don't penalize the woman, the Amonah, from getting her ksuba from her husband, the Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara says, the ksuba is of Kofim and Beis. However, in this case, the woman is not going to get her ksuba. And the reason being is because it's not the fact that she's an Amon L'Kohen Gadol, which is a forbidden relationship, that makes her lose her ksuba. It's simply because of her being secluded with this man after she was warned that makes her forbidden to her husband. And even had she been fit to marry this man, let's say she wasn't an Amonah, still she wouldn't get her ksuba, because she's not better than a regular kosher woman to a regular kosher man, where we say that after Kinyan Stira, she loses her ksuba. So therefore, again, although generally Amalika and Gola, which is forbidden anyway to have that marriage, she gets her ksuba. Here again, because like any woman who after Kinyan Stira, although let's say these women are not drinking, but they will lose their ksuba. Moreover, the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu lo yishayisu v'lo yinitlis ksuba." These following examples are also cases where the woman doesn't drink for different circumstances, as we explained these cases in the previous Mishnah, but they don't take the ksuba. For example, like Meres Tamani, the woman says, "I'm tamei, so there's no point in drinking," because we already know that she was mezana. But again, she doesn't take a ksuba because it's her fault that the marriage is falling apart. Or v'shabola edim shitamei, or let's say witnesses come and testify that she was mezana. Or Vaimaris Anishais, or she just says, "I'm not gonna drink." So if she's not drinking, obviously she's not gonna drink. But she doesn't get a ksuba because it's her fault that she's not going through the process that she's not remaining married. Now, however, Amar Baila Inimashka. However, let's say the husband says, "I'm not giving her to drink," which he has that prerogative. Or Vishabaila Bo Lebaderch, or if let's say the husband, on their way up to the Beis HaMikdash, after he had done Kinyan Stira with her, cohabits with her. Now, the reason why in these two cases she's not going to be drinking is because of him, either because he refuses her to drink or because he had be with her. So then, nitlis ksuba v'leishaisis. Again, she's not going to drink because the drinking is not going to work, either because he doesn't want her to drink or because once he has be with her, after that, it doesn't do its job because he's not vindicated because he had be with her afterwards. But, however, she takes her ksuba because it's his fault. Now, meisu ba'leyan. And this is talking about regarding any saita who, after being warned, was secluded, and she's appropriate to drink, but before she got a chance to drink, her husband died, achalei shasu, until she didn't yet drink. So there's a machlokes. Beishamei ibn leitlis ksuba b'lo yishayisus. Beishamei says that, so she takes her ksuba, she's willing to drink. The fact that her husband died, now she can't drink because the pasuk says, v'hevi ishtes ishte, the husband has to bring the wife to drink, so she's obviously not drinking. But the ksuba she gets because I would have gone through the process. You would have seen maybe that I'm tar. Now we can't do it. Fine, it's not my fault. So she gets a ksuba. But if Basil, I mean Basil say, no, either you drink, and then you can get your ksuba if you're tar, or if you don't drink, you don't get your ksuba. Now, in other words, what basically Basil is saying is that you're right. Since she's not going to drink because she can't drink, because the husband's not there to bring her, so she doesn't take a ksuba. And the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning of their machlekes. Next case, the Mishnah says, Mu'uberes chaveiroi. So let's say a man is married to a woman and he dies. Now, he leaves over a pregnant wife. Or he divorced her when she's pregnant. Or umenekes chaveiroi. Or if let's say this man died or divorced his wife when she was nursing. Now, the sages said that it's forbidden for a man to marry a woman until the child that she has when she was divorced or widowed is 2 years old. The reason being is because that's the amount of time that the child has to nurse. Now, if this new man is going to get married to her and conceive a child, then she's going to stop being able to nurse, and then he's not going to care about that man's child, and that child might die. So the sages said you can't marry a woman until the child is weaned, which is after 2 years. Now, if this man goes and marries her, in spite of that rabbinic prohibition, and this woman who, again, was nursing or pregnant, then he warns her regarding another man, and she does stira, so the Mishnah says, lo yishayisus. She doesn't drink the saita waters, and the reason being is because she's not fit to remain married to him, just like the other cases that we said of Amon L'Kohen Gadol and so on, where the pasuk says, Kisiste ishtoy, ishtoy ru l'kaima. Here it's not fit for her to remain married to you. Well, although there is going to be a halachic kedushin, just like Amon L'Kohen Gadol, but it's not fit for her to stay married to you because the sages said she can't, so therefore she doesn't drink based on the kinyan stira. And however, v'leinitlis ksuba, but she doesn't take her ksuba again because it's her fault that she did stira, she was secluded with the man after she was warned. That's Divrei Meir. But for Chachamim, they argue, they say no. She does drink. because she is Ruhu L'Kayma. Why? Because Yachol Hu L'Hafrisha, he could remove himself from her until after the 24 months, U'Lachzir L'Chazman, and then to come back to her at that later point in time. And therefore, she is fit for marriage. She's not considered like a Molokah and Gadol, where there's nothing either one of them could do to become permitted to each other. So that's Ein Ruhi L'Ishtar. But here, it's Ruhi L'Ishtar. You just got to wait a little bit. And therefore, if he warns her and she gets secluded, she does drink to cite the waters. Next case the Mishnah goes on to is Eilanus. And Eilanus is a woman that can't conceive, can't have children. And that's how she's, this is congenital. This is how she was born. And she doesn't have the attributes of a regular woman in the sense of she doesn't have a breast or her hair is not the same and her she has a thick, manly type of a voice. So regarding such a woman, or a zakena, or an elderly woman, or v'she'ena ruleled, or a woman that's not fit to have a child, not because she was like that from birth, but rather because she drank something that made her impotent. Now, such a woman is forbidden for a regular single man to stay married to, meaning if he doesn't have any children. The reason being is because a Jewish man is commanded to have children. So it's again, says the Tanna Kamma, another case of in the Ruhi L'Kayma. So she doesn't take her ksuba because it's her fault, because she did stira after being kinur, but she doesn't drink because it doesn't fit into kisista ishta, it's not ishta Ruhi L'Kayma. Says Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar argues, he says, what do you mean? Of course she's Ruhi L'Kayma. Because Yachol Hu Lisa Isha Acheres, he could marry another woman. Valifris Valibris, amen, and to be fruitful and multiply from another woman. So it's not a sin to stay married to a woman that can't have children from. Yes, you have a mitzvah, but that doesn't mean that you can't stay married to her and marry another woman. And therefore, she's just a really kind man, and therefore, she would drink the Saita waters according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, the Mishnah continues, Bashar Kal Nashim, and all of the women, if again they go through Kinah and Stira, Oy Shaisis, Oy Loy Noitlis Ksuba. Either she drinks to say the waters, and if she doesn't, then she doesn't take her ksuba. Now, Eishes Kayin Shaisa, the Mishnah says that a woman married to a Kayin, that again, that went through Kina and Stira, she drinks to say the waters. However, Umoteris Labaila, if it turns out that after she drinks that she's clean, that she wasn't Metame, she wasn't Mezan, then she's permitted to her husband, which the Gemara is going to ask pretty obvious. Why? Why should it be different if he married to a Kayin than to any other man, where if it turns out after the water that nothing happens to you, that you're permitted to the husband? Mishnah continues and says, Eishes Sris, the wife of an impotent man. Now, moreover, Rashi points out it has to be that it became a Saris after she was married to him, because you have to have, as we'll see on Amud Beis, that the Shechivas Habal, the relationships she had with her husband, has to be before the relationship she had with the Boil, which is with this person that she was Mizana with. And a Saris is forbidden to a regular Jewish woman. So it must be that he became a Soros after they were already married. So you already had the Shechiva with the Baal before the Shechiva with the Baal. So again, if there's a woman married to a Soros, which is a man that can't have children, so then Shaisa, she does drink, which the Gemara is going to ask, seemingly pretty obvious, why should it be any different? Because he's a Soros, you have a regular relationship over here where there's nothing wrong that they're having in the relationship per se, and you had the Shechiva Sabal before the Baal, and he warned her regarding that man. Why should she not drink? That the Mishnah is saying that she does drink. Now the Mishnah continues and says, "Alidei kol harayis mekanim." In regards to every forbidden relationship, the husband could warn the wife. In other words, if he warned her, "I don't want you to be secluded with his father, his brothers, or one of the other harayis that are forbidden to this woman," and she's secluded, so his warning is a valid warning, and she becomes forbidden if she secludes, and then she's going to have to drink, which the Gemara is going to ask, pretty obvious. That's the halacha of kinah and stira. Now, however, the Mishnah says, chutz min hakatan, except for a minor, and that's because the pasuk says, b'shachav ish oisa, that a man, meaning an adult, lays with her. That's where the halacha of seita applies. And u'misha in the ish, and it excludes someone that's not a man, which the Gemara is going to explain, what does that mean? Who is it that's not a man that's being excluded from b'shachav ish oisa? Now, the Mishnah says a different, unique halacha, that it's ve'elu shebezdin mekanlan. These are the women that the courts do the kinui, the warning of the kinui. In other words, if they see that the woman is acting with preetzus in inappropriate, immoral way, who are them that the courts does it? Mishan is charish baila. Let's say the husband became a deaf mute. Again, he doesn't have das, therefore he's not aware to be able to warn his wife from being secluded with a man where it seems that it's inappropriate relationship she's having with him, so the court does it. or he becomes mentally deranged, or he's locked him in jail. Again, he's not aware, he's not able to do the kinoy. So then Bezin does it. Now, Tanakam explains, we didn't say that they're doing kinoy, that if she gets secluded, she does stira, that then they're going to make her drink to say the waters. They're not going to make her drink, and the reason being is because the pasuk says, the husband has to bring the wife, not the court. Now, moreover, the Tanakama says, is that the husband can't then make the woman drink when, let's say, he gets out of jail from the warning that the courts did when he wants to, because you need to have vikine vehevi. The one who did the warning has to be the one that brings her to the drink the waters. And here the courts did it, not him, so he can't bring her to drink. So why is Bezin warning her? It's only that if she does seclude, then it's obviously signifies something immoral over here, and therefore she's not going to drink the site of waters, but she then loses her rights to Arksuba. Now, Rabbi Yisi, I mean, he actually argues and he says, no, aflash kaisa. The warning that the courts does, the kinoi, works even to have her then drink the site of the waters, which is likashayetza balam. When the husband leaves jail, then he's going to have her make her drink from the warning that the courts did. And that's because, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yisi doesn't hold of this hekish of the kinoi behavi, that the one who warns, yes, there has to be kinoi and stira and bringing, but he doesn't know that the one who warns has to be the one that then brings her. The courts could warn, and then he could bring his wife after the stira to the Beis HaMikdash, and then she'll drink the Saita waters. Now, the Gemara asks, related to the first halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah, he said that in Arusa and the Shemeres Yavam are loy shaisais, they don't drink the Saita waters. Now, the Gemara asks, the inference is, mishtuhu delay shasis. So it sounds like that they don't drink the Saita waters, this Arusa and the Shemeres Yavam. Hakinu mekanula, but he does warn her, and in other words, what that means to say is that if she then secludes herself with that man that he warned her, she'll be forbidden to her husband. From the fact that the next words that the Mishnah says is that b'loy noitlis ksuba, they don't take their ksuba. Well, obviously is because it's her fault that the relationship is ending. Why? Because now she's asked to him because she's secluded with this man. So now the Gemara asks, Manan Mili, from where do we know this from, that the halacha of kinui, of the warning being halachically valid in the sense of then making her lose her ksuba when she does stira, applies to the Arusin Shemeres Yavam. So the term one, like we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk Bamidbar says there in the Parsha of Saita, it says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta. Speak to the Jewish people and say. Now seemingly that v'amarta is superfluous because it already said speak to them. What does it then repeat and say? So l'rabbis, that's obviously an inclusionary term to speak to more people. And that's Arusa v'shemeres yavam l'kinyan. That's including the halacha of an Arusa and the Shemeres Yavam, where again they're excluded from the Shtiyah, as the Mishnah brought the Pasuk. You have to be tachas isha, and they're not married to the man, either because she's only anticipating Yibam or she's only engaged. However, she is included for the halacha of kinui from the ribui of Amarta to say that she's going to lose her ksuba and she's forbidden in the relationship. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, umasnit mani, who is our Mishnah specifically, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to quote a machlekes regarding that we said that Arus and Shemeres Yavim both don't drink. So who is it, as we'll see, that everyone agrees that the Arusa doesn't drink to cite the waters when she was warned as an Arusa, when she was engaged, who is it that holds that even the Shemeres Yavam is not going to drink to cite the waters? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan, he is Rabbi Yonasan, the Tanakh Lena Braisa. The Pasuk says, Tachas Isheikh, this that you were Mezana when you were married to your husband, when you're underneath your man. That's the translation. So on that, says the Braisa, Prat La Rusa, that excludes a woman that's engaged, where she's not Tachas Ishech. Now, Yochel Shani Maitzi Av Shemeres Yavam, you would think I would exclude also Shemeres Yavam, where it's not Tachas Ishech. She didn't yet have Yibum with him. She's not, quote, married to him. Tamalayma, oh, but that's what the Pasuk says, Ish Ish, where this repetition of this Ish Ish, every man, that's where that comes to include a Shemeres Yavam, actually, that a Shemeres Yavam will drink, again, not like the Halach of Mishnah, the Shemeres Yavam will drink the Saita waters, give Rabbi Yeshua. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, the reason being is because he holds that the understanding of the Pasuk sounds like more of a reason to be excluding, which obviously it is excluding when it says Tachas Ishech, which comes to say that a woman that's not totally Tachas Ishech is excluded from drinking the Saita waters, would be excluding in Arusa, where she's not considered Tachas Ishech. But a Shemeres Yavam, as we'll explain further, is going to be included tachas ishech, and the reason being is because she has one up to be considered more married, so to speak, than the arusa, in the sense that a shomeres yavam doesn't need to go and have chuppah. An arusa has to go through the next phase after engagement to have nisu, and she has to go to the chuppah, and that a shomeres yavam doesn't need to. So on that, the Rabbi Yisha holds that a shomeres yavam is considered tachas ishech, and therefore she is going to drink the seita waters. So obviously he's not the town of our mishnah that says shomeres yavam is not shesis. Rather, it's like Rabbi Yenson. Rabbi Yenson, he says that he learns differently. He says tachas ishech, the word that when we're telling the woman that because you strayed and you were metama tachas ishech when you were under your husband, prat l'shemeres yavam, that excludes a shemeres yavam. Now that's because he understands the first miut, this tachas ishech, to be excluding a shemeres yavam. Now, however, actually contrarily, an arusa, a woman that's engaged, he would consider as having ishus, as being tachas ishech, if not for the fact, as we'll see later, that another pasuk excludes an arusa. Now, the reason being is why? Why does he hold that an arusa has one up over shemeres yavam, the opposite of Rabbi Yeshua? Is because, at least by an arusa, he did the kedushin. More, and that's because it didn't come from someone else's kedushin, again, in contrast to a shemeres yavam, where his brother had gotten engaged or married to her. Not him, it's min hashamayim that he has to then fulfill his brother's engagement. Moreover, is by an arusa, if she was mezana with someone else when she's engaged to him, she gets skila, in contrast distinction to the case of a shemeres yavam. So therefore, Rabbi Yenson actually considers tachas ishech more to say that an arusa is tachas ishech and excluding a shemeres yavam. So however, continues Rabbi Yenson, but Eitzi shemeres yavam below Eitzi arusa. So from this pasuk alone, I would have only excluded from the drinking of the seita waters a shemeres yavam, but I would have not excluded an arusa. Tamalema, that's what Rabbi Yenson brings another pasuk that says asher tista isha tachas isha, which is the pasuk that our Mishnah brought. There's three psukim that we're discussing, where that if a woman strays when she's underneath her husband, so that's another term of tachas isha. The first one is tachas isheich, his tachas isha. What's that coming to exclude? We already excluded shemeres yavam, is prat la rusa. It's coming to exclude an arusa. So therefore, Rabbi Yenson, like the town of our Mishnah, who excludes from the drinking both a shemeres yavam and an arusa, not like Rabbi Yeshua, who only excludes an arusa and not a shemeres yavam. Now, the Gemara explains the reasoning of both of these opinions, and that is Mar, Rabbi Yenison, who he's the town of our Mishnah, alima le arusa. He considers an arusa more like a full-fledged wife than a shemeres yavam. And again, that's why from the first miut, he excludes a shemeres yavam, and only when he has another one does he exclude an arusa. The reason being is because, first of all, the kedusha didei, as we explained before, it's this marriage, this relationship that he has with this woman was because he himself got engaged to her. Again, not like a shemeres yavam. And moreover, if she's mezana with someone else when they're engaged, she gets skila, which she doesn't get if she's mezana when she's a shemeres yavam. Whereas Umar, Rabbi Yishya, he holds alima le shemeres yavam. He holds that no, the one that's more considered like isheich is the shemeres yavam, and again that's why he excludes an arusa from there, and not a shemeres yavam, which we'll see. Then what does he do with the next reference that Rabbi Yenson brings, which excludes another one anyway that the Gemara will address? So he only excludes a shemeres yavam. He only excludes an arusa and not a shemeres yavam because he holds a shemeres yavam is considered tachas isheich. The reason being is, of course, the loy ma'achsra mesir l'chuppah, where there, by shemeres yavam, he doesn't have to do chuppah with her. All he has to do is be his cohabitation, which is by a regular wife. After you're engaged, you first do chuppah, and then you do bia. And that's even if, let's say, he does a bia biznus, meaning not for the purposes of consummating the relationship, she becomes his wife for all, even if he just wants to be mezana with the shemeres yavam, it's considered a kinyan, as if they're married now, as the Gemara says, m'tzat zivamas, d'am gimlam abeis, which the Gemara is going to bring later on. So again, so that's the machlekes, Rabbi Yenson and Rabbi Yeshua. And again, the reason why each one is memayit, one and not the other, is because they hold one to be more considered wife-like than the other. But now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yenson, hi-ish-ish, Rabbi Yenson, who we said that he's the Tana of our Mishnah, and he has two exclusions of Shemeres Yavam and Narusa, but what does he do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua brought? Who he said it says ish ish, which is like a ribui, which Rabbi Yishai says comes to include a shemeres yavam that she will drink from the waters. My Avidlei, what does he do with it? Where he had different limudim that excludes an arusa and the shemer siyavim. So what is Ish coming to include? So the Gemara says, Mibayle, he needs it with something else. Whereas the Brisa says, it says Ish, that's Larabbis, that comes to include those cases that we mentioned in the at the end of the Mishnah that the courts do the kinoy. And this is a Brisa at the end of the Perek that includes Ishes Cheresh, if she's the wife of a deaf mute, or the Ishes Shaita, the wife of a mentally deranged man, or the Ishes, or the wife, as we can hear on Talmud Beis, of Sha'amum, of a man that is afflicted with the confusion of the heart. Someone that's also a little bit more deranged than the Shaita. Again, even the husband can't do kinui. So the court does it, and how do we know the court does it? That's included from Ish, but it doesn't have that, like Rabbi Yeshe, to include the Shemer Siyavim in the drinking of the waters. Rather, from Tachas Ishech and Tachas Isha, he excludes both Arusa and Shemer Siyavim, again, like the town of our Mishnah. But then the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this before, Rabbi Yeshe, Hai Tachas Isha, this second reference of Tachas Isha, which is at the end of the parasha of Saita, which says Zayis Teres HaKanois, where again, where Rabbi Yonason used that reference to exclude not only Shemer Siyavim that excluded from the first reference, but rather also Narusa, my Ovid Lei, what does Rabbi Yeshe do with that? Seemingly we have two exclusions. How does he include the Shemer Siyavim in the drinking of the Saita waters? First one, yes, okay, he considers less than wife is Narusa, so he excludes from that one, but the second reference should also exclude now Shemer Siyavim. Another Gemara says, no, Mibay Lei, he needs that Tachas Isha, Lahakesh Ish Le'isha Ve'isha Le'ish. To compare, and that's why it says when it's talking about the woman, Tachas Isha, underneath her husband, we're then saying in the same few words, the wife and the husband, to compare the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband, where this is a brisa at the end of the parak, and there it explains for what halachic ramifications in halachas of seita would we compare to the man to the woman to the man. But that's what the Gemara says Rabbi Yeshe needs Tachas Isha for, again, not like Rabbi Yonason learned it, to exclude another type of woman from the drinking of the waters, which would include Shemer Siyavim and Arusa. No, he used it with something else. And again, he still stands with his opinion, not like our Mishnah, that you only exclude the Arusa from drinking, but the Shemer Siyavim actually does drink the Saita waters. Now the Gemara summarizes this and says, Elatayim Dechsiv HaMikrai. So it sounds like from the whole discussion that we had, is because we had these psukim, again, each one according to his own interpretation, where whether it's from Tachas Isheich or from somewhere else, because depending which one we're excluding from the first meat and so on. So, but we said at the end of the day, both Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yeshe excluded Narusa from drinking from the Saita waters. So that's only because we have these psukim. On that, the Gemara says, Halav Hachi, but if not for these psukim, Havamin Narusa Shasya. It sounds like I would have said that a Narusa does drink from the May Saita if she was warned and then had stira. On that, the Gemara asked, but Baki Asa Reb Acha Bar Chanina Midrema, when he came from the south, this Reb Acha Bar Chanina, Asa he came, but Isa must need to be Yod. He came and they brought the following Brisa. The Brisa says in the Pasuk, in Bamidbar Perik, Hey Pasuk Chaf, it says that Vayitain Ish Bach Esh Chaf. I mean, they're talking to the suspected adulterous woman, and they said that since you strayed when you were under your husband, and you became tamei, and it says v'yitin ish b'chesh chavta, and a man lay with you, where the pasuk ends mi balade ishech, besides for your husband laying with you. Now, what it sounds like from the pasuk is that the husband had already laid with his wife before her being secluded with this other man who supposedly or allegedly who had laid with her then afterwards. Now, on that says the brisa, it's only Mishakad Meshchivis Baal Laboil. It's only the halacha of the parasha Saita only applies to the drinking of the Saita waters if the husband had laid with her, his wife, before this suspected adulterer had laid with her. But not if the boil, this other man, had laid with her before the husband did. Now, the problem with that is that an Arusa is only engaged. An Arusa is forbidden to have relations with any other man, but she's also forbidden to have relations with her chassan. So therefore, if she was mezana at that point in time, why do you say you need a pasuk to say that she's not going to drink the meisaita? She anyways can't drink the meisaita because you're having the shechiva at the boil before the baal. So that Amar Rabbi Chama, he answers, mishkach aslo. No, we could find that we would require a different pasuk to exclude an arusa and not to exclude her from the fact of having the boil before the baal. Kagain, for example, in such a case, shabo la oras bebeis aviyah, where if the chasan, the one that she's engaged to, where not for the purposes of marriage, just for znus, because they just wanted to have cohabitation, had done it when she was still in her father's house, when she was still engaged. So you can have a circumstance of an arusa where the baal was before the baal, and therefore, regards to that brisa of mebala de ishech, it would apply for her drinking the water. That's why we needed that other pasuk again that we brought, either according to Rabbi Yonis and Rabbi Yishi, whichever one they bring, to exclude the arusa from drinking the meisait. Now, however, on that, the Gemara asks that the kavasak gabeshamer is yavim, but then we have in this category that's not drinking the meisaita, or is drinking the meisaita, both the arusa and the shamer siyavim. Now, so a shamer siyavim, as we learn from this brisa, especially if you want to exclude or even include a shamer siyavim from the drinking of the meisaita waters, has to obviously be that the bias of the baal was before the boil, because or else you wouldn't need a pasuk to include or exclude if it's already determined by this other halacha of not having the boil before the baal. Now, so then, says the Gemara, obviously would have to be told by Kagoyin. For example, Shabol el Yavim beveis chameha, that obviously that after his brother had died, so she went back to her father's house, in her father-in-law's house, meaning after her husband died, that then the Yavim went and had bia with her. Now, because you have to have the bia of the baal before the boil. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ha Shemeris Yavim Karis La? That is who you're defining as the Shemeris Yavim, as the woman anticipating Yibum that you're saying doesn't drink. But Ishtay Mal Yasehi, she actually, even if this Yavim, who it's his brother, it's his sister-in-law, his brother died without any children, he didn't decide he wants to do Yibum or Chalitza, maybe I want to have the relationship with her, maybe not. But just he goes ahead and he's Mizan with her. Even so, says the Gemara, she becomes his full-fledged wife. And if she's his full-fledged wife, how are you saying that she doesn't drink the Saita waters? What do you mean? She's a regular wife. If he's doing this before the boil came along, which you have to, then once the boil comes along, she's not a Shemer Siyavim to say that Shemer Siyavim doesn't drink. She's a regular wife. Because the Amar Rav, because Rav says in Masech Ziyavam is, Kano la koil. And that's based on the Mishnah Masech Ziyavam is that says that if the Yavam has bia, cohabitation with his Shemer Siyavim, whether inadvertently or whether deliberately, where the Gemara there explains it's tomat znus, which means say he just wants to have znus, not to do yibum, still the Mishnah says that kana, he has acquired her as a wife. Now, Rav explains what does it mean when the Mishnah says kana, he has acquired her as a wife. He has acquired her for all halachic ramifications. And that is, if let's say he's a kain, she's going to eat truma, he inherits her, he can be metalma to her, and she drinks the saita waters, and he excludes her, let's say when he doesn't want to stay married to her, not with chalitza, with a get. So therefore, ask the Gemara, if you're telling me that these cases that we're discussing have to be talking about that the baal had relations before the baal, now a shemeris yavim case, if the yavim had relations with her before the baal, no matter what his intentions were when he had that bia, it creates a marriage between him and her. So it's just a regular wife. So now if the baal comes along and has nuz with her, so of course she's going to drink the saita waters. How can you say that she doesn't drink? She's not a shemeris yavim. She's a full-fledged wife. So now the Gemara answers that, you're right, this that the pasuk is coming to exclude a shemeris yavim from drinking the waters has to be told by kishmul, like Shmuel. The Amar that he says, and he argues in Rav, loy kana ela ledvarm hamurim beparsha. That is, that actually when a yavim has znus, so to speak, with the Shemeris Yavam, it's only for the things mentioned there in the parasha of Yibum, which are, for example, that he takes over his brother's place in the inheritance of their father's Yerusha, or to divorce her with a get. And now with Chalitza, those things which are written there in the parasha over there in Yibum, it's for those things that she's considered as his wife, but not for other things. Now, the reason being, as Rashi explains, is because this, that a Yavam could acquire the Yavama with any type of bia, whatever cohabitation it is learned out from the pasuk of Yavama Yavo Yalau, that her Yavam will have bia with her. Where it doesn't say Yavama Yikachenu Leleish, that he'll take her as a wife, it just says Yavo Yalau, he'll have bia, and Ulukacha Leleish, and that's how he's going to take her as a wife. So we learn from there that his cohabitation with her will have the halachic ramifications as marriage. Now, therefore, says Shmuel, it's only for the things that are set within the parasha of Yibum that we're including that this should be considered like a marriage when they had whatever type of cohabitation it is. Now, but for something else, it's not considered a marriage. Now, so what is said there in the parasha? Again, like we said before, to divorce her, he wouldn't need chalitza anymore. He would just use a get. And also, moreover, that to take his brother's place to in the inheritance of the brothers of the family, that the other brothers don't split with him, and rather he takes his brother's portion. But it's not for everything, and therefore, she's not a full-fledged wife, and therefore, she is not going to drink the Saita waters. That must be talking about, like Shmuel, that as we define that the opinion that says, which is the opinion of our Mishnah, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, that a Shomer Siyavim does not drink the Saita waters, which obviously she's not his full-fledged wife, because a full-fledged wife does, must be talking about like the way Shmuel defined it, and therefore, a Yavim that had the Bia of Znus with the Shomer Siyavim, although he acquires her for certain halachas, but not for the larger prospect of marriage, and therefore she's not really married to him, and that's why she's excluded from the halacha of drinking the Saita waters. That the Gemara asks. What comes out is, ihachi, if so, sounds like we should divide along these party lines. Lema Rav Damar. So let's say the Rav that says that the woman, the Shemer Yavam, that when he has a Bia of Znus, the Yavam with the Yavama, he acquires her for everything, must be Kereb Yeshia. It sounds like he's like a Yeshia who says that a Shemer Yavam does drink, whereas we explained before, it has to be talking about that the Yavam already had Bia with her, because you need to have Kadma Bia as Baal Abayil. So that sounds like Rav. Rav is like Rabbi Yeshua, who says, of course the Shemer Yavam is going to drink the Saita waters, because since we explained that she already had Bia with him, well, that's a full-fledged wife, according to Rav, and therefore according to Rabbi Yeshua. Now, or Shmuel, the Amak Rabbi Yonasan, but Shmuel, he says like Rabbi Yonasan, that Rabbi Yonasan says you don't drink, is because like Shmuel, because she's not his full-fledged wife, and therefore she's not a full-fledged wife, she's not Tachas Yishech, and therefore she doesn't drink. And the Gemara says, no, each one can say that he's like the other Tana. Amalcha Rav would tell you, Anoda Amri Afila B'Yonasan. I actually could even be like the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, where obviously like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, actually, Rashi points out that, based on the Gemara's answer, that why would it need, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who he said, how do I know that Shemer Siyavim drinks the Saita waters? From Ish-Ish. Ish-Ish comes to include another man that this parsha of Saita would apply to. So he said that applies to this halacha. Now the question is, why do I need a special limud to include this halacha of the drinking of the Saita waters, but according to Rav, actually, she's a full-fledged wife by the halacha of Shemer Siyavim. When he had Bia with her, it's Kana Lakayl. So Shemer Siyavim, again, as we said, has to be told that it was Bia first with the Baal. So why do we need a ribui? It's like a regular wife. So that Rashi explains that actually it's what's called lav davka. In the truth, that's not really being included from ish-ish. It's just what's called an illusion. It's a smacht be'alma. Because actually, you're right, that if Rav is like Rabbi Yeshua, which we had assumed that was the more obvious one, which actually now is turning out not the obvious one, is because of she's a full-fledged wife. And actually, the ish-ish is coming to include, as we mentioned before, according to the other opinions, that it's coming to include the ish's cherish v'shaita, that Bezdin does it. That's really what ish-ish comes to include. Now, so how is Rav saying he's even like Rabbi Yonasan? Because mid itzrach kralim uta, from the fact that Rabbi Yonasan has to find an exclusion in the Pesukim to exclude a Shemer Siyavim for drinking the Saita waters, mechlal deishtemal yasa, he says, Rav, obviously, that Rabbi Yonasan agrees to me that she is a full-fledged wife. Because if she's not, then I wouldn't need to have an exclusion of excluding her. Obviously, because she is considered a wife, and that's why we have to find a miyut to say, but she's not a full-fledged in the sense that we are finding that she's excluded in the parasha of Saita. So as you continue on top of Chafayim and Alv, Shmuel, he also says the same thing. Anod Amri Afila Rabbi Yeshua, that I could even say, like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you do drink. Now, why would you drink? According to Shmuel, as we said before, she's not his wife. This, that the Yavam had Bia of his Nus with the Yavama. So that's what Shmuel says, the same logic like Rav the other way around. From the fact that the Pasig needed, in other words, that Rabbi Yeshua needed a special ribui to say that the Shemeres Yavim drinks, obviously that she's not his wife at all. Because if she was his wife, I wouldn't need a ribui. So the fact that I'm having a ribui is because that she's not really the wife. In other words, for example, to inherit her, or to be metamitar, or to feed her truma, says Shmuel, no, Rabbi Yeshua agrees to me that she's not a full-fledged wife, because a biyab's nus with the yavim is only for the certain things that are said in the parasha, not for the larger picture. And that's why you actually need a reboot. Now, Rashi addressed the same question now with regards to Shmuel, that actually, for sure Shmuel would work with Rabbi Yehonasan, who says that the Shomer Yavam doesn't drink, and the reason being is because she's not his wife. But then the question is, then why did Rabbi Yehonasan need a miyud to exclude her? What do you need a miyud for? According to Shmuel, you don't need a miyud. She's not a wife at all for this context. So that Rashi says the same idea for Shmuel is that, you're right, Rabbi Yehonasan agrees you don't need a miyud, and it's only in the smacht ba'am, it's just an allusion to his opinion based on Shmuel's premise that you're not really the wife, and therefore, of course, you're not going to drink the seder waters. And the pasuk is actually coming to say something else, as we said for the other opinion before, that it's coming, when it says tachas isha, is just coming to compare the man to the woman and the woman to the man, as we'll see later on regarding to certain halachas relating to halachas of Satan. Therefore, Rav and Shmuel says that we're not along party lines. Rav doesn't have to be like Rabbi Yeshia and Shmuel like Rabbi Yehonasan, where they could be like that too, as we said, because each one then we're explaining is only a smachtim alma, but they could be like the other opinion, because contrarily, actually, we see from the fact that you need a mead or ribui says that, obviously, that again, either that you that she is a full-fledged wife or is not. Again, depending if you need a ribui, obviously you're saying that she's not a wife, and therefore it's not a contradiction. And if you say a miyud, obviously it's because to say that she is a wife, and that's why you need to have a miyud, specifically in the context over here of drinking from the mei seita, from the seita waters.